How About Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool, and we have arrived. We are finally here at draft week. So I thought that, you know, we talked about all these prospects and who might be available and, you know, covered all the angles of this. So I thought, you know, for this last podcast before the draft that I would do a war room simulation. So what I did is I gathered some of my very, very close and knowledgeable Cowboys buddies. I got KD Drummond, Jonah Toles, and John Oning. And we basically simulated a war room. So it's kind of like a mock trial, right? Where you get the information and you guys each play your role and we just kind of let it go. And we did a fan speak mock, which ended up crashing on us after a while. But you think that you'll all agree after listening that we got some great conversation in there. And that ultimately the end of the day, the goal was to kind of, you know, stimulate the kind of conversations that may be happening inside a war room. And I think we did that. We debated a couple trades. We talked about prospects. We compared, a floor player versus a ceiling player. And I think that there was just a lot of really good stuff that came about of it. And I hope you will agree. Just a warning, this is, again, another longer episode because of, you know, just the nature of it. So it tops in at about an hour. So enjoy, and we'll talk next week after the draft is over, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to speak about. But until then, sit back and enjoy our madness. All right, welcome, guys. We are inside the Mock Cowboys War Room, and we've got quite a crew today. So I'm going to let these guys introduce themselves and what their mock titles are inside the War Room, and then they're also going to plug their respective sites. So, John, you please start.
Well, my name is John Oning. I am the Director of Player Personnel for the Cowboys. If you want to catch my work in the real world, go to fanragsports.com.
Okay, Jonah.
Yeah, I'm Jonah Toles. I'm a lead draft analyst at Draft Breakdown and Cowboys Blitz, and I just published a top 300 big board on Saturday, and that is appropriate for this podcast because I am the director of college scouting in this podcast thing.
And we're basically just going to steal your board at this point. That's what we're using.
Yeah, pretty much.
KD, do it, man.
I am KD Drummond. Hello, everybody. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL and online at CowboysWire.com. For this exercise, I am the executive vice president. I am taking on the Stephen Jones role.
And I will be the head coach. I will be the Jason Garrett, and I will start. Please send whatever process jokes the three of you guys have.
Hold on.
Immediately.
Let me clap.
Thank you.
Let me clap. Make you feel comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So for the audience at home, basically what we're doing is we are going to use a fan speak mock draft. We'll do a 7-round. Hopefully we will get done with this pretty quickly. I'm hoping that the end of it will kind of just roll through things a little bit quicker than I'm assuming that the upfront talk will be. But we're going to get started. So we turn trades on. So there is a very high possibility that we will get some trades. We'll discuss the viability of each one of those. And we are, just so everyone knows, we're using a composite big board, the fan speak user team needs, and have it set on difficulty. So if you guys want to see if you can try do it better than we did, then yeah, send us your results and I'll delete them. All right, here we go. So, right off the bat, everyone we want is gone. I'm sorry, guys.
Damn it.
Okay, here we go. So, things kind of playing out as normal. Got Garrett, then Allen, Mitch Trubisky, Jamal Adams, Marshawn Lattimore, Watson.
Hey, do me a favor. Pause it for a second.
Yeah.
All right, let's, before we get any further.
We're at 14, just so we know. Everyone's
as executive VP, I would say that there are very few players that we would ever entertain trading up for. For me, really, the list ended at Malik Hooker, and he went number 10 to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm really not interested in trading up, and I would rather just sit back and see what falls to us at 28. Is there anybody that my director of college scouting or my director of player personnel think is above and beyond have to consider trading up for at this point?
I mean, for me personally, it'd be Corey Davis, but to me, I don't think taking a wide receiver and trading up with the little draft capital we have would be responsible if we trade up for Corey Davis, but I think he's a top five talent in this draft. I just don't think it's right for this team.
Totally agree with Jonah. Don't think there's a good player still left on the board, but nobody that's worth us trading up.
I'm on board with that as well. Okay, let's keep it moving. Just wanted to make sure everybody was on the same page.
And just so everyone knows, Christian McCaffrey just went to the Philadelphia Eagles. So everyone.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Heavy,
oh, my God.
Heavy sigh there. Interesting of note, Malik McDowell goes 16 to Baltimore. Taco Charlton goes to Detroit.
David Njoku just went to the Giants.
All right.
Taco to Detroit.
So
my mock.
We are at our pick, and we have a couple trade offers. As you guys can see, there's two on the table. One from Green Bay to just move back one spot, and they're willing to give us their fourth and fifth round picks. And then one from Carolina that wants us to go all the way back to the eighth pick in the second round, but they will throw in a third round pick, 34, which is one of their comp picks, and then fourth round of the eighth pick. Just so we can see, this is what we got on the board currently. We have Corey Davis is still on the board.
Oh boy.
Oh, we might have a good debate coming up right now. Okay.
Is that who Green Bay is trying to move up for?
What?
Is that who Green Bay is trying to move up for?
I think that would be a very good assumption. I think that could be who Carolina could be going up for, or Carolina could be going up for. It looks like all the quarterbacks.
For Ramchek. I was going to say Ramchek.
I was thinking, yeah. So Davis Webb is the top quarterback available. So that it looks like that played out pretty much like we thought it would. But basically, just so everyone can see, what's on the board right now is Corey Davis, John Ross, Ryan Ramchek, Garrett Bowles. So neither one of the top tackles. Well, I guess Robinson, who's my number one guy, went. Dalvin Cook, Tack McKinley, Charles Harris, T.J. Watt. Kevin King is still on the board. Buda Baker, Obi, Quincy, all still on the board. So at this point, we're looking at the list. Katie, you take over. You tell me what you want.
First of all, the Green Bay move of only losing one of these guys, it's very doubtful that they're going to take one of our top targets. So that's a no-brainer. We can move back one spot, pick up an extra fourth and an extra fifth, which for me is very vital in this draft, is just getting more picks, because I think this draft is truly deep in the middle rounds, and the more picks we get, I very much am on board with that. But I think what we have to consider is the Carolina pick, because not only does it give us a third round pick, which would technically be at 34, would technically be another top 100 pick, but it also gives us an early pick in the fourth round, as opposed to two picks at the end of the fourth and fifth round with the Green Bay trade. So the question here comes up, are there 12 players that we would be satisfied with, thinking worst case scenario, of moving all the way back to the eighth pick of the second round and be okay with? So if you could bring back up the available players, Landon.
Yeah, right there.
All right. Mm-hmm. So now, are there 12 players that we see here? And theoretically, all 12 aren't going to be picked, because every team has different needs. But could you look at this and say, yeah, I'd be comfortable moving all the way back to 2-8 and getting one of these guys that would basically be near the same level as somebody that we could pick right now? So I'll turn that question over to my college scouting and player personnel directors.
Yeah, to me, when I was looking at 28, I thought Carolina was one of the key landing spots for a trade back. And obviously they sent us an offer, because you got guys like Ramchek on the board and Dalvin Cook also on the board too. So to me, I see almost all of our targets that we would have been considering at 28 in the first place. I see guys like T.J. Watt. I see guys like Takaris McKinley.
I think
Tyus Bowser is still on the board. I mean, Kevin King's on the board. Obi Melifon was still on the board. So we still got a lot of – and Charles Harris on the board too. So we still got a lot of players that we would have considered 28 anyways. So I doubt that we're going to get wiped out if we move back to Carolina's pick in the second round. But I think the big difference between the Packers trade and the Panthers trade is what KD said, is the pick in the third round and the early pick in the fourth round. Those are going to be valuable picks for us. I think we can land much better players with those picks than we can with the Green Bay Packers' fourth and fifth round picks.
Yeah, I think it depends for us how far we want to move back on what position we want to get. If we really want to get an edge defender, I think it would be risky moving back to eight because then we could risk our top two targets, Watt and Bowser, being off the board by that time. But if we're okay with taking a cornerback with our first pick, there's a ton of them that came in for visits still on the board. So I would lean towards if we're okay with taking a cornerback, I would totally be okay with taking the Panthers trade option.
I guess, Mike, as the coach, I want to know, you know, what – I mean, there's a lot of players. There's a lot of our guys still on the board. I mean, if you go just look at the – if we're breaking down the edge list alone, this is who's still available for us at edge. Tack McKinley, Charles Harris, T.J. Watt, Carl Lawson, Bowser, who's listed as a linebacker on this list, is also available. Jordan Willis, Derek Rivers. If we were only able to get, let's say, the bottom rung of these guys, you know, and I, you know, in this list it's Derek Rivers, but I would say in real life it's probably more like Jordan Willis, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Is that level appropriate? I mean, for how much we're falling back to gain the ability to get a third round pick? Because obviously, I want guys. I need bodies at this point.
I'm not taking Jordan Willis anywhere near pick. Near the beginning of the second round, but if Derek Rivers was there, I would jump at the opportunity. I think he gets everything in a weak side defensive end.
You know what? The more I think about it, the more I think we just take the Packers trade, just move back one spot, get the fourth and the fifth, take our guy. Looking at the way this thing has the rankings set up, I don't think McKinley, Harris, or Watt's going to be there. So we're going to have to decide a combination of Lawson, Rivers, Bowser, or one of the corners. If we really are dead set on getting one of those three players in Tack, Charles Harris, or T.J. Watt, I think we should take the Packers trade and run because they're giving us a great offer with the fourth and the fifth.
Switch to the linebacker board for me and show me where is Bowser ranked on this board. Bowser's ranked 61. So chances are, based on using this big board, Bowser's going to be available when we move back. I have no problem taking Bowser with my first pick. He is my 1B behind Watt. McKinley is off my board until the second round, strictly because I don't think that he's going to be able to contribute anything in his first year. I think he's going to be out for an extended period of time, miss all the training camp, and at that point, he's a wash for me. So I am much more inclined to be looking at Watt and Bowser as my 1A and 1B. I think Watt's going to be gone if we move back to eight. Green Bay is probably moving up for Watt, in my estimation. So at that point, I would probably say take the Green Bay pick or take the Green Bay trade if you're comfortable with taking Bowser right here. But I have a sneaky suspicion that based on what Green Bay needs, because they want to keep Clay Matthews inside, they let Peppers go, they have Perry, but, you know, they gave him a long deal, but it wasn't that great of a deal to signify they think he's, you know, their premier pass rusher for the next 5 years. I would probably say they're moving up to get Watt. So any trade back to me is saying goodbye to Watt right now, even if it's just one pick back.
So you make the call, Katie.
Is Watt number one on the board right now for both of my player personnel and my college scouting director?
He's my top edge right now, yeah.
I actually have Derek Rivers as my top edge, but Watt is a better fit for what we're trying to do, weak side. So I would say yes, he's number one for us as a whole.
If we lose Watt, how far down are we dropping in the eyes for you guys? Knowing that Rivers isn't a possibility for me even at 29.
Well, I still have three more edge rushers in the first round. I still have Takaris McKinley, Carl Lawson, and Tyus Bowser. They can't draft them all. So I think the drop off isn't as large as say, a Myles Garrett at T.J. Watt. It's very close, and I think you wouldn't be losing too much if you lost Watt right here. But I'm convinced they're moving up for Ramczyk. But if you think that we're going to lose Watt right here, and we're dead set on taking Watt, let's take him right here, and we don't have to trade down. But me personally, I have Takaris McKinley, Carl Lawson, Tyus Bowser as other first round edges we can target.
I'll just say this: I can't think of a better set of conditions in order to trade back to second round pick and the eighth pick in the second round. Like this is, I mean, people talk about hypothetically wanting to trade back, but this is the best case scenario for what you could see your board look like if you want to trade back. I mean, if you're going to ever have the balls to pull this trigger, like this is the scenario to do it, man.
And absolutely. I agree. And my thinking is, if we move back and we get wiped out of the edges, I would assume that we could have Rivers. I would assume that we could at least make a move up for Rivers once we have moved back in the second round from what would be now our second round pick. So I would have no problem moving back if we get wiped out on edge rushers, taking the cornerback, and then moving back up to get one of the other defensive ends. It wouldn't be the ideal scenario, but I think with what we can do to augment the rest of our team, I think I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, so before I pull this trigger, let's take a timeout from this. In the real world, are either one of these trade scenarios realistic to you guys?
I don't see the Packers trade realistic. I don't see them giving up a fourth and a fifth to move up just one spot. I mean, if they're worried someone's going to move up for Garrett Bowles or Ryan Ramczyk, I could see that happen.
Yeah, but both of them being on the board.
But one spot, you're giving up a fourth and a fifth? I just don't see that happening.
Katie, you think this is realistic?
No, I don't think the Green Bay trade would be realistic. The fourth and the fifth are, let me see here, 38, and that's 60 points. So they're giving up 60 points to move up 20 points in the first round. I don't see that as being realistic. Carolina, on the other hand, needs to move up 160 points, and they'd be giving us 108 and 172 points. So the Carolina trade is pretty fair. They're giving up 170-something points to move up 160 points in the first into the first round. So Carolina, as far as being a realistic proposal, that one makes sense.
All right, that's good to know. Okay, so I'm going to pull the trigger on the Carolina trade, right?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's go. All right, and so just so we can see, they took Quincy Wilson, Jonah.
God damn it!
They traded up for Quincy Wilson.
No.
You gotta be kidding me!
Hold on! We took the Carolina trade, and Carolina traded up for Corey Davis.
Yeah, no. But I was just
Green
pointing.
Bay took Quincy Wilson.
Green Bay took Quincy Wilson.
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh! Who am I gonna stay on the table for now? Well. Oh my god!
go talk to this.
This is a nightmare.
Nightmare scenario. Burn the whole draft down.
We should have stayed at 28 and took Quincy Wilson.
Oh man!
We should have took Quincy Wilson.
Oh god. Okay, so that's the end
can
of the
can we swing a trade with Green Bay? Can we trade like our
You're gonna have to let that
next year's
go,
first?
My man.
All right, well, once Jonah recovers, he's having a little bit of a fit. Just so everyone knows, the round finished out with you're right. No, I'm sorry, you're right. Carolina took Corey Davis, that's right. That's what that pick was. That makes sense. I mean, obviously he was clearly the highest rated player on the board.
Right.
And if situations were different, I think, we probably would have taken them, but these are good offers that we got, I think. And here's what we ended up with. Corey Davis went 28. Quincy Wilson famously went 29. Tack McKinley goes to Pittsburgh at 30. Atlanta gets Tim Williams. Now we're seeing a little bit of an edge run coming.
We're trying to get wiped out here.
Tack, Tim Williams, and then we got finished up with Charles Harris. So, real quick, since before we
start. We good.
Do we want to think about trading up?
That's what I was about to bring up. So now scroll back up for me and show me what San Francisco and Chicago did with their first-round picks. San Francisco went Allen, so they're out.
Chicago,
we know.
We're going to have to worry about Jacksonville and Tennessee. Well, Tennessee does a second-round pick, so we're going to have to worry about the Jets. We're going to have to worry about the Bears. And, worry about the Jets and the Bears, really. We're going to sweat those ones out because I think the Jets could go Bowser, and I think the Bears could go with any of our defensive ends, too. So we're going to sweat pick out.
So tell me who's left on the board. Go on to the next round. Let's see who's at the top of the board that we're working off of.
All right, so John Ross still available. Ryan Ramczyk is still available. Garrett, I can't believe that. I mean, the tackle class is not great, but that's still pretty shocking to see all those guys.
Well, Garrett Bowles does have.
Yeah, I mean, Bowles, I could see, and Ramczyk. I mean, I have
Ramczyk has
injury issues and lack of experience. Buda Baker and Kevin King still there. Trey White, Obi Melifonwu, Chidobe Awuzie, Adoree Jackson still here. Cordea Tankersley, that's not surprising. Carl Lawson. They got Caleb Brantley on here, but I guess they haven't been made aware of current events. Derek Rivers is still there. Marcus Williams is still there. So we still have a good class of people.
I want Watt.
Yeah, but you want Watt. So
he's the best edge remaining. Do we make a move up for him? I would say that we send out feelers. We don't need to jump Cleveland. We don't need to jump San Francisco. Chicago's need there. Do they really need an edge rusher?
I think the team we have to get ahead is the Jets. I think the Jets are the team that scares me the most in terms of taking edge rushers. That team is connected to guys like Bowser and Watt all along in the second round.
We're at 2-8. I don't have a list of. Does anyone have a list of the picks? Are they the same up top?
They're 2-7. They're the pick right before us. They're 2.7 because they flip with the Chargers.
So do we want to try to go to 6?
Yeah. See if we
can go to 38 with the Chargers. Can we go to 38 with the Chargers right ahead of the Jets?
Do that.
Okay. So Los Angeles Chargers. By the way, I would like to take the time to use this podcast to say I can't believe that we got two teams in the city of Los Angeles this year, and both of them aren't playing the Cowboys in Los Angeles this year, which is pretty infuriating. Back to our regularly scheduled program. Okay,
we give them.
They're going to give us 2-6. First of all, let's just see if they'll take this. No.
First of all, before we do this trade, we got to make sure Watt is still on the board.
He's there. Yeah, I just checked.
You mean as far as him not going in the top in the first five picks? Is that like, what you're saying? Like you want to make sure that we get down to the
Stan Speak thing could go crazy, and then like he could go to like Cleveland or something. I just don't want to take that risk. So let's make sure that he doesn't Fan Speak thing doesn't go crazy.
I think that this is something to consider because it looked like at the end of the first round there was an edge run. So do we want to consider going all the way up
to Cleveland?
Yeah,
that trade would be 80 points, which would basically be the third rounder that we just got from Carolina from moving back. So if we were to move up to Cleveland, we would offer 2-8 plus 3, whatever that is, number 98 overall, the one that we got from Cleveland.
This is the one.
324. Yeah, 334.
So basically that would mean that the Carolina trade would have netted us a fourth round pick and we still get the guy we want.
I'll take that.
But we're going to ask Cleveland for something else back in return. We're not just going to take 2-1. We're going to ask for their fifth round pick as well. So do 2-8.
I think that's a good trade, man. I think that way, ultimately, the net gain is you get a fourth and a fifth for basically nothing.
We still get our guy
because you get the guy you want. I think let's look at that. So that's Cleveland. This is great radio while I click through this, I'm sure. first round pick. So what was the offer again? That same third?
For
the third?
2.1. Yeah, take their 2.1 and then give them our 3.34 and take their 5.1 and see if they go for that.
They said no. So we're going to try it again. So we'll try 5.31.
They have 5.31. Yeah, try that.
Nope.
No.
Let's try. They got one more fifth round pick. No. I'm just gonna keep going until they've if they don't take this next six round pick, then
it looks like they're dead set on taking their guy.
Yeah, that's what it is. They don't want to move off of it. Go to San Francisco because there's no way they're taking two edge rushers in the first two rounds. It's just not happening. So
let's see who Cleveland drafts first, though, because we don't want, because Cleveland could take our guy right here.
Right. Yep.
Should we do that?
A quick start.
All right.
And then hit pause as soon as they make their pick.
Did it work?
And they went
they,
to
they work. Took, they took Ramczyk. They took Ramczyk.
Okay. All right.
And I just can't see San Francisco going edge rush here because they already took Jonathan Allen and they already have Armstead and old boy Buckner.
Yeah.
They're going to a 4-3 this year, right?
So two of those guys move inside, and they put what's that fifth round pick that they had a couple years ago? That's
Aaron Lynch
right now. Yep, they have Lynch on one side, and they just put Allen on the other. They're not going defensive end. So I'd be willing to.
Do we take the risk of someone else trading up to San Francisco though?
That's true.
I mean, what's the trade that we're looking at, KD? Can you look at the numbers?
For San Francisco, we would be looking at moving up 60 points, and that would basically be giving them our fourth-round pick that we got from Carolina, because that's 64 points.
Let's just do that. We still get to keep our third-round pick, and again, we're still getting what we want out of all this?
Yeah, we're getting our guy.
All right.
Let's try it.
I mean, that's the key thing. As long as we're getting the same guy we wanted at 28, like, this is all gravy mm-hmm. at this point. As long as we're not giving away what we... Exactly. Oh, yeah, I got to change it to... Who is it? San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Yep.
Is it and nothing else coming back from them, but change our 334 to 4.8.
We are not losing TJ Watt after I just lost Quincy Wilson. This is not going to happen.
Not today, Satan.
Not today.
Oh,
my gosh. Dude. San Francisco's dead set on their guy, too.
Well,
would you give up 3.34 instead of 4.8 here?
They would have to give us something really back. Like they would have to give us like I don't know. Take their seats.
What'd you say, John?
I said honestly, I don't want to give up too much when we have guys on the board with very similar grades. Watt and Bowser have very, very similar grades for me, and I think for everybody else, they're pretty close. So I think unless them goes that we should just
we don't want to overpay here. I think John's right.
That's fair. And honestly, for me, the separation between Watt and Bowser is not huge. So
right, I mean, I agree with that.
But I would say that after is Rivers still on the board?
Rivers is on the board.
Rivers still there.
Maybe we should just.
Think we should just sweat it out.
Maybe let's just do it.
I mean, we got a lot of capital from the Panthers.
I mean, the problem is that. I mean, it's not that I don't want to do the trade, but I don't want to overpay because there is a very it's like John said, we're only seven picks away at this point. So we're six picks now. So
and I mean, if one of our guys goes, then we could be more urgent trying to trade up. But there's no point in trying to trade up until one of them goes because I think they're close enough to board for us.
So here's what I'll do. I'll do a couple more quick pause, some more quick pauses. So we'll see what the next few picks are and then how we go. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we got Garrett Bowles went right there, which so I guess a tackle run.
That makes sense.
Started and ended. Mm-hmm. Kevin King went to 2-3.
That's one of our guys.
What a secondary.
At the corner.
Uh-oh, Watt went.
There he goes.
There goes Chicago. Watt.
Chicago.
There goes our guy. There goes our guy right there. I just lost my two guys.
Jonah's about to lose more than that, I think.
But I do agree with John's point, though, because I feel like the drop from Watt to Bowser wasn't worth giving up 3.34. If we can get Bowser, I'd still be pretty happy because I can get a good defensive back or a good, you know, player at the end of the third round with their comp pick, and I don't think the drop off from Watt to Bowser was worth giving up that pick.
All right, I'm just going to sim the rest of the next four picks because at this point we still got Bowser and Rivers, and I don't think that both of them are going to go. So let's just roll the dice, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
do it.
We got trade offers, but I think at this point. We're
good,
right?
We're staying put. We're staying put.
Yeah, we need our guy.
All right, so we got our guy, it looks like, because I don't think – yeah, Buda Baker went, John Ross went, and Trey White went. So we are going to take, I'm assuming
– I know John has a good case for Derek Rivers.
Yeah, can I play a little bit of a –
Yes, do it. Here. Stand on the table.
I know that Tyus Bowser's higher up on our board than Derek Rivers is. But let me just make an argument for Derek Rivers. He is much more fundamentally sound day one than Tyus Bowser. He's going to give us a lot more first-year production than Bowser can even dream of. Bowser, for as athletic and as much of a high ceiling he has, he's not going to produce right away because he's too raw in terms of his hands, in terms of his approach as a pass rusher, in terms of the way he finishes. But Derek Rivers can step right in day one, and he's going to be a good run defender. He's very fundamentally sound there. He plays with good balance, good hand positioning, body positioning. And as a pass rusher, he's a lot farther ahead than Tyus Bowser is. He can play through an opponent's pads. He has the bend. He has the ability to sharpen that edge really well. So I just want to ask you guys, is that something you guys would consider, maybe moving Rivers above Bowser?
Well, I got to step in here as coach. And say I have concerns about Rivers as well as Bowser. Obviously, I think neither is a complete prospect, like you said. Specifically, is that I think that Rivers, while we have a good grade on him, and I think he's a fantastic player, I have concerns about a certain amount of level of competition, and that he've rushed only from the left defensive end spot, and we're going to be asking him to brush from the right defensive end spot, which doesn't seem like a big thing, but when you're talking about adding the level of competition jump to the side jump, and also going against right tackles in the Youngstown State schedule versus the left tackles on the NFL schedule, that's and especially in the NFC East, that's quite a jump. Now, I understand that kind of applies to all these guys, and Bowser as well. He's going to have a tough transition. But I also just want to make sure that we're not overselling Rivers' floor versus Bowser in these situations.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
I'm going to ask this question. Do you guys think Rivers is a game changer? Can he be a game, like a double-digit sack guy every year?
I think he can be that by year through four.
Do you think Bowser has a better shot of being a double-digit sack guy throughout his career? Because I think Bowser is more of the game. I think if you draft Bowser, you're banking on what he can become. And I think he has the higher ceiling to be that game changer.
So this is a floor versus ceiling debate at this point, right? I mean, is that where we are, right?
That's what I feel like. I feel like Rivers is a good player. Like, John made a great case when he's still on the table for him just now. But
he's still there.
I want a game changer at right defensive end right here. The last guy that went was Watt, and I went to the Bears, and I feel like if we pass on Bowser, I think Bowser could be a double digit. Bowser's gonna be a double digit sack guy in the league someday. I don't know. Rivers, he could be that, but I don't know if Rivers can reach the ceiling Bowser could reach. And I think Bowser is the guy who's gonna change our defense.
As a Stephen Jones in this scenario, here's my overall take, and I hear both of my scouting guys, and they're making great points. I don't believe that first-year edge rushers make a big impact anyway. And I'm talking about overall. I think there's just too much to learn, and we're talking about a guy that played a lot of linebacker, which was just stupid by the Houston defense to do that to Bowser. And then we have a small school guy. I don't think either one of them is going to be able to make the transition to be that guy immediately for the Cowboys. They're going to be situational pass rushers for the Cowboys. We have a lot of guys that play the run well. I think that's what they're going to stick with. And then on passing situations, and coach, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that either one of these guys is going to be a situational pass rusher to begin with. With that said, if they're both going to be situational to begin with, give me the guy that has a higher ceiling.
Okay. John, you made your point. Thank you for your input. You are fired. You are fired, sir. Clean out your locker. All right. No, listen. In real life, we're going to make this selection, but I think that's a good debate. I think that's what it would look like, too, is that it's a difficult debate because it's very much a ceiling versus floor debate, and are you swinging for the fences, or do you need to get the solid double to try to score? So here we go with Tyus Bowser. We're swinging for the fences, baby. All right, here we go.
Yeah, baby.
All right, so that's going to play out. We still got to pick at 228.
Some claps on the wall.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah,
claps.
Yeah, yeah. Clap.
It's a good pick. We're happy with the pick. There's nothing disappointing. All right. All right, so we're clearing through here. Joe Mixon went to the New York Giants.
Damn it! No!
And Marcus Williams with
and McCaffrey in the division now.
Oh man! And Marcus Williams, who is Jonah's guy, goes to.
Oh my gosh!
Right before
Rasul Douglas cannot go. Rasul Douglas cannot go before our third round pick. Let's just make that clear.
Yeah,
we're trading up for Rasul Douglas.
And let me be clear too. I've done these a lot. Marcus Williams gets picked in this range a ton, like in these drafts.
Man.
So, last before Dallas gets on the board every time.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. That's why I've been an advocate for thinking about moving up from 60, like just a little bit, because look what happens. Fabian Moreau also went 22. So, yeah, like, and I think Moton could, Taylor Moton could be a look guy that they have there. A second round right tackle, that might be something they could be interested in. So, anyways, that's where we are. It is what it is, Jonah. Get over it. Okay,
I need to get out.
Because here's the deal.
Right now. This is look who's
still here. We still got Curtis Samuel here. We still got
Rivers.
We still got Derek Rivers. We could still get Derek Rivers if you wanted, guys.
And, is there a scenario where we double down an edge rusher right here?
Well, listen, we got
right here. No,
but guys, look.
Overall, yes, but not right here.
We still got 2 third-round picks as well. So
exactly, and we can get good DBs later, and yeah, we can double.
We could still get 2 starters in the third in that on those picks, I think.
Okay, give me the cornerbacks right now.
Which corners are available here?
Okay, Sidney Jones is available, but I think we need to rule that out because the Cowboys would rule that out more than likely.
I don't like that list, man. I'm saying.
It's okay. Let me read it out. It's Sidney Jones, Desmond King, Akella Witherspoon, Tees Tabor, Cameron Sutton, Rasul Douglas, Corn Elder, Demonte Kazee, and let me be clear: Jalen Myrick, Jordan Lewis, Howard Wilson, Marquise White. You know, just to be clear, a bunch of these guys are nickelbacks. They're not going to be outside guys. So just to kind of, you know, put that information in, as far as the old ball coach is saying, is that, well, I don't know, some of these guys are going to need to play inside, you know? So like, I think Desmond King is like, you know, your safety corner hybrid type, a nickel, potentially. Akella Witherspoon could play outside. Tees Tabor is playing outside. Cameron Sutton's probably a nickel, right, Jonah?
Mm-hmm. Cameron Sutton, yeah. Nickel, or he'll play some safety.
Yeah. Rasul Douglas, definitely an outside guy. Corn Elder is a nickel guy.
I think Douglas is really probably the last guy other than maybe Witherspoon who's playing the outside for this team. Wait. Yes.
Oh, Tabor can play outside, right?
Well, I didn't see Tabor yet. Yeah. So we got Witherspoon, Tabor, and Douglas is the next outside guys. I mean, who are going to play? Because Sidney Jones just tore his Achilles. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and here's our issue right here. Tabor's the only guy left that we brought in.
Yes.
And that's out of the, I mean, go to the safeties corners, really quick.
Of the corners, but we brought in Curtis.
Of the corners.
Ooh, Marcus May still on the board.
In real life, he'll be gone.
Yeah, that's true. Real life, he's probably going first round.
Yeah, I'm hearing he's
first round. He got invited to the draft.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not as worried about safety because I like guys like Tedrick Thompson. I know some other people
don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thompson's my pet cat.
I like the Boston College kid. I like John Johnson. I think he can play nickel. I think he can play single high. I like our fourth round safeties much more. I like my fourth round corners.
I'm good at safety. It's corner that I'm scared, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, so this is a good scenario where our corners could get wiped out. I mean, Tankersley's gone. Moreau's gone. Quincy Wilson's gone. So this is a good scenario to where if you take edge rusher at 28 or like we did in early second round, it's what Landon said. Do you trade up to get there? I know time's passed now, but in real life, would you consider giving up your fourth to move up?
Yeah, honestly, I think that as a war room, we failed. We should have paused and looked to trade up to get one of our corners.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe I didn't do it, frankly, because like, I've been beaten on this drum for a long time now, seriously, and I think it's something that they should really consider. And I am not necessarily a huge advocate for trading up in the first 3 rounds specifically,
yeah,
because it's right. Just because the value is just usually not good. But the problem is,
yeah, but with what we got,
with
we
what
should
we
have
need,
used that ammunition to
yeah,
get back
exactly.
Up.
We need a starter and maybe even a CB1. You know, so like if we could get that guy by just trading up a little bit, I think it's worth it. But yes, the time has passed. John, I wanted to get some of your input on this too. What are your thoughts on where we should go with what's available?
First of all, I think we should eliminate Akella Witherspoon. I think he's way too raw technically for us right now.
Okay.
He gives way too many inside releases. He's an awful, awful, awful tackler. And if we're going to be playing him as much as we think we are on the outside, we're going to need a guy that can tackle, a guy that can, you know, funnel everything inside, and I just think Witherspoon's not going to be able to do any of that. I know we got to talk to the doctors, and the doctors would make the call, but if we really want that cornerback, potential quarterback number one, the only guy left, in my opinion, is Sidney Jones.
I have an argument here, too.
Yeah.
Wait, John, you got cut off. Sorry, real quick. Finish that last thing, John.
I was thinking, because Jones, before injury, he was a top 15, top 20 guy. And is him at 60, is that a good enough value now, getting him now? And then we can even grab another cornerback, maybe with a better value in the third round.
Also, but Jerry said he doesn't want to take any redshirt players. So,
playing the role of Stephen Jones, what I just said recently was, don't rule that out. Just because Jerry said that, don't rule out us doing the crazy second-round pick. I mean, we have tradition here with the Dallas Cowboys. And our tradition is that in the second round, we swing for the fences. So I don't – here's my thing. With what we got with the other picks, I have absolutely no problem taking Sidney Jones here and then double-dipping that cornerback later on with our second, third-round pick and taking a guy like DeMonte Kazee out of San Diego State or one of those other players that I think is more suited for that kind of thing. I don't have a problem swinging for the fences right now with Sidney Jones because we traded back. If we had stood pat and we only had one first, one second, one third, Sidney Jones is off my board. But since we have multiple picks coming up in the third round and the fourth round, I don't have a problem taking Jones right here.
All
right.
I'll make one argument before we send it over to the pick. But the highest player on my board that's not an edge rusher is Curtis Samuel. And I know people will cringe at saying taking an offensive player, but with the depth I see, I feel like we can get a corner or a safety with a third round picks. With the two third round picks we have, I think we can get a corner and a safety there. I don't think Curtis Samuel's going to get there. I don't like the cornerback board, especially right here. I think Sidney Jones, I think this is too rich for me to take at 60. The safeties, again, I like the depth more later, not right now. I think we got wiped out. That's the bottom line. And to me, with the main picks we have, I think we can afford a luxury pick. If we can get a guy like Curtis Samuel, or we want to double dip with Derek Rivers. I feel like with the capital we have and the depth of the DBs, we can make a pick like that now.
Yeah, a little quick.
Okay, go ahead.
As a coach, I will say that I hate the idea of taking a guy who just had an Achilles injury, because now it's not even about whether he'll get back to 100%, because they have a high success rate with those injuries now. But is he going to have the same athleticism that he had before? And I think that's something to keep in mind, especially when you're talking about a guy who you think is going to be your CB1. And also, we're taking him in the second round. So it's not like we have a fifth-year option and we get 4 years with this guy. He's now basically a three-year rental, and he's going to be we'll have the option to have him after that. But I need guys who could play my defense right now. And so if really the choice is Sidney Jones – and then everybody else is the same, if we were to wait, then I think we should take the luxury pick. And whether that's Derek Rivers or Curtis Samuel, I'll leave that up to the scouts.
All right. Well, let me ask you this question. Day one, Samuel does what for this team? Run it all for me. He's our returner.
He's our kick returner. I basically think he would immediately take Lucky, Dunbar, and maybe some other roles all at once.
And that's what I was getting to. Yeah. What's the and? He takes Lucky. He takes Dunbar. We can get people to replace those roles later on in the draft.
He's also your number two running back, because despite what other people say, like, the guy averaged 7 yards a carry in the college at Ohio State. Like, that's legit. All right, so he's
a running back on my board.
He could be a running. He definitely could be a running back.
That was my main question. So here's what we're doing. He takes Dunbar's role. He takes Lucky's role. I can cut Alfred Morris and save money.
Mm-hmm.
Does he also replace Darren McFadden as our number two?
No, I think I need Darren McFadden, because if I'm actually playing rotating the running backs the way I normally do, he needs to be in there for – I don't know that I could trust Samuel immediately pass blocking. So I
you're talking about 8 snaps a game for a guy we're taking in the second round. 8 snaps on offense plus our returns.
No. This is a guy you give the ball. Like, this is not a guy –
exactly.
This is not a guy that you are trying to fit in here. No, he's on your team. You're giving him touches. You want him to have touches. You are scheming him touches. And I'll say one more thing. The aspect where he's going to help this in our scheme the most is he is your true field stretcher. Like, this is, I mean, this is, that's where he can be the wide receiver element, is that if you want to take him in the backfield and then motion him out into the slot and then see him run a go route, you will see those two safeties drop further and further back, opening everything up in the middle for Dak to do under route, dig routes, you know, once he can figure that out, dig routes to Dez. you know, everything underneath gets opened up. So this guy can do a lot of things schematically that may or may not show up in the yardage, but as a coach, it allows me so many more options.
Also, so, Coach, go ahead.
I'd like to make the point that we brought in Curtis Samuel. We did not bring in Sidney Jones to where we can have our doctors look at him.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Coach, let me ask you this question. Are you creative enough to give me a situation where Elliott and Samuel are in their backfield together?
Absolutely.
And we're also running the situation where Williams and Dez are on the outside?
Absolutely. I mean, what people may not realize is that I've been spending the I'm playing a complete role right here.
Right.
I've been spending the entire offseason, my first offseason, with the knowledge that Dak is our starting quarterback. So I think that there's a very serious transition that may be happening in our offense as we move from a quarterback who had a certain type of playing style to a new quarterback who has a different type of playing style. Now, I'm an old Coryell guy. I'm still going to have all my exes running that bang eight. I'm still going to have seam routes. I'm still about going down the field. But that doesn't mean that I can't add more motion. I can't add more ball trickery. I can ball handling. One thing that our quarterback does really well, and don't you smirk, KD, is ball handling. and I think that Curtis Samuel could play very much into that with misdirection, not just the jet sweeps, but a whole bunch of different stuff coming out of the backfield where we have multiple options. There's RPO possibilities that Samuel could be a part of. I think that doing this sort of thing really allows for us to open up the playbook and really kind of lean into the transition to our new offense.
If my coach is dedicated to doing it, let's do it. Let's go, Samuel.
All right, Curtis Samuel.
I like it.
Time out real quick. Just based on the way things are going, I'm just going to pause real quick. We're probably only going to get through the third round at this point because we are at...
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like John probably needs to go here in about 20 minutes anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and simulate to the third round and then see what we get going there. Okay, so out of that round, we had a pretty good round, guys. We got Tyus Bowser and Curtis Samuel in the second round. So we had a pretty good second round, guys.
Great value.
Hey, war room, come on, yes. War room clapping.
There we go.
Gotta get the claps in.
There we go.
All right, so here we go into the third round.
Now, Coach, what positions do you want to be on our radar in the third round? What are you looking at?
We desperately need a cornerback. I need a body at cornerback for sure. I would love to get a safety in the third round as well.
Did fans speak timeout while we were debating?
Oh, no. Don't do this to his fans speak.
Oh, word.
Come on.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a two-round mock draft.
Well, yes, it was. But listen, you know, here. It's not ruined because, honestly, the whole point of this was to simulate what it's like in the war room and simulate the conversations that these guys have and how it's compartmentalized and how there's politics involved and how everyone's kind of, you know, has their own input on it and is kind of playing their own side to a certain degree. So thank you guys so much for doing this, first of all. It's terrible.
I think what you said is 100% correct, and fan speak timing out really doesn't take away the essence of what this exercise was. We were presented with trade opportunities, and this is me with my Stephen Jones hat on.
Yeah.
We were presented with trade opportunities. We took one of those. We moved back. We lost our main target, which is something that you have to consider when you're trading back, because you only trade back knowing that there are multiple people that you're satisfied with taking at that position. So we did that. We still got Bowser, and then we were presented with not having any of our top guys that we brought in at cornerback, and were we willing to take the alternatives that we brought in to be just in case? We brought in Samuel, and we brought in Juju, just in case we got wiped out in these positions, and we were satisfied with taking one of those guys. And now we have multiple picks in the third round. and then an early pick in the fourth round to say, okay, this is what we need to do at cornerback and safety, and we have a couple options there. So I think overall we're satisfied.
Yeah, I think it was overall a fantastic exercise. Let's get some final thoughts, kind of like KD just did. So, John, you started, then Jonah.
Yeah, I'm really happy with what we did. I think it was really, really good how we worked through the options, especially that last pick. I think that was gold, how we were working through the different options that we could get. That was really, even though I'm not that big in an offense, picking offense that early, I think it was, you guys made really good points, just like as it would be in the war room, and I think it worked out really well. If that's how it went on draft day, I would be ecstatic.
Jonah?
Yeah, man, I really like this exercise because I like the realism of it. Like, I think when we were talking about, you know, Watt versus Bowser, and we're talking about should we stay versus should we go, and we end up going back, like what KD said, we lost our guy. And then this is a real draft scenario that could happen. Like, we could really trade back with Carolina, lose our guy, end up with Bowser, and the cornerback board's wiped out. And then we debated Curtis Samuel, took the luxury player. And with the extra capital, we felt confident we can get a DB later. So I felt, even though we didn't get to the third round, I feel like this is a real exercise that could really happen on draft, and this is what a real war room is going to look like. Fanspeak may have gone nuclear on my board, losing Quincy Wilson and Marcus Williams, my two pet cats. But, you know, for the sake of the team, I thought the first two picks we had, what John said, this would be a great scenario if this were happening, if we got Bowser and Curtis Samuel with the extra two picks we got.
Right.
All right, anything else, KD, before we go?
No, I think just to reiterate, we got an extra top 100 pick. We still got Bowser. We got the luxury pick, and then we also got a pick at the top of the fourth round. So, honestly, I can't – I would rather have TJ Watt. I think that, you know, we saw some room for improvement in how our war room operated. I think that we should have still tried to trade up in the second round to ensure that we got Watt. It would have been less expensive. I think we might have had to give up our original fourth round pick to do that, but it would have made sense. And then also we needed to consider moving up again in the second round to make sure we didn't get wiped out in the second out of the cornerbacks. But with all of those things being considered, I'm more than ecstatic to have Bowser and to have Samuel, and then going into the second part of day two with two picks at the end of the third round to do what we need to do, and then also an early pick in fourth round, and then a second pick again in the fourth round. I'm ecstatic with what we came away with.
Guys, thank you guys so much for doing this. Make sure everyone goes back and listens to the plugs early on and read all these guys' work. I mean, these are three of my very favorite people on Cowboys Twitter, so it was fantastic to work with y'all. Guys, we'll definitely be back after the draft to go diagnose exactly what happened. Until next week, go Cowboys, and happy trails.
You know what it is.